Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
An article in Outreach Magazine, it's called A Study, and the title says, A Surprising Number of Christians Say they Aren't Voting. I just want to read a few paragraphs this morning. As the 2024 presidential race between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris intensifies, new research from the Culture Research Center at Arizona Christian University, led by Dr. George Barna, indicates that millions of Christians are unlikely to vote. Barna says this election season is marked by a significant drop in voter enthusiasm, particularly among Christian voters who have historically been key players in determining the outcome of presidential races. Now listen to that. Historically, the church, the Christians, have had played a big part in outcomes of election. According to the research, only 51% of people of faith are likely to vote this November. The results also reveal that large numbers of Christian churches have distanced themselves from the election, refusing to even encourage congregants to vote and avoiding teaching related to many of the key social issues on which the election may hinge. What's that saying? The church has been silent. The church has been quiet on many of the social issues that are at stake this year. What does 51% equal in number? The report goes on to reveal the answer. The Culture Research Center defines people of faith as anyone who identifies with recognized religions such as Christianity, Judaism, Mormonism, or Islam. While 66% of voting age adults identify as Christians, only half, 51% of all people of faith are expected to vote. This translates to 104 million people who are likely to set out in the 2024 election. From that 104, it goes on to say this, 41 million of whom are born-again Christians and 32 million regular church-going Christians. Now listen to that. That is a lot of people not voting. We have 41 million of who are born-again Christians and 32 million regular church-going Christians are more than likely not to vote. This is sad, especially if when you consider the moral and the social and government issues that are at stake in this election. It's very sad. The article goes on and pinpoints several reasons why Christians aren't voting. 68% lack interest in politics and elections. I get that when I was 18. 57% dislike all major candidates. I get that also. 55% feel none of the candidates reflect their most important views. 52% believe their vote will not make a difference. And then 48% think the election results will be manipulated. And those are the reasons they all gain for why they are not voting. So this morning, I'm going to give you, as a Christian, some reasons you need to vote. No, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I don't even do that to my wife. I may say, who did you vote for? It's up to you. But I'm going to tell you some reasons why we, as Christians, need to go and vote this year. First thing is we cast our vote for an opportunity for the righteous to be in authority. We cast our vote for the opportunity for the righteous to be in authority. And it does make a difference when the righteous are in authority. There are some counties that Christians have become on the school board and all that, and it has made a difference on the curriculum that they actually teach the kids. Now listen to what I'm saying this morning. Proverbs 29 verse 2 says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. I want to tell you this morning, this is not a pastoral election. We're not electing a pastor for the United States of America. We're electing somebody to head that office up. But it is not somebody that we're looking for, hey, does he have the theology of the Assembly of God? That would be awesome. But we're not looking for a Methodist. We're not looking for a Baptist. We're not looking to be a pastoral election, and sometimes we need to get our mind from that. That's not what this is about. I'm not for sure if I would trust a pastor in politics. Or many of them that call themselves reverend in politics. Because for one thing, I think they went away from their calling. They're called to pastor God's people. The next thing, the word righteous is plural. When it talks about the righteous, it's talking, it's plural. One translation calls the righteous the godly. Talks about the godly. I mean, no, if you know God, you serve God, you're blood bought, you're washed by the blood of Jesus, you are righteous. And if you know that, you are also a godly person. So when we look at this, we know them for the righteous as Christians or even the church. Can I tell you this morning, we want to live in a country that the church still has a voice. Amen? We do want to live in a country that we still get to have our voice in our school systems. We still get to have a voice in our government. We still get to have our voice when it comes to the Supreme Court. We still have our voice when it comes to these things, of whether a man or a boy goes into the girls' locker room. I'm saying we still need to have a voice, and we need to vote for that person that will allow the righteous to still be in authority. Because it's so important that we understand the reason and why we need to vote as Christians. Listen, a leader may not fit into what we call the framework of the righteous, yet can still give room to the righteous to lead in authority. That leader may not fit what we call a spirit-filled, on fire man of God or woman of God, but yet they can still leave and give room for the righteous to be in authority. And I think we need to understand that today. I can give you a couple examples in the Bible. King Nebuchadnezzar and also Darius. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 and 49, it says, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. And also Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now listen what this is about. Nebuchadnezzar was not a godly man. He was a Gentile. He wasn't somebody that served God. But yet at the same time, he was in a position that he could grant authority to those that serve God. He looked at Daniel and he looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel petitioned for them. And all of a sudden, even though Nebuchadnezzar was not serving God, he put in appointed people that were righteous, people that were godly, people that thought, what does God say about it? In the places of positions, in places of authority, he granted the right, granted them the positions. Now hear what I'm saying today, because listen, sometimes we think it's all about the man or the woman, but it got to be that we need to understand who will be more likely to allow the righteous to be in authority. Something to think about. Darius after Nebuchadnezzar. And listen, Nebuchadnezzar, it's interesting. I don't really know where he stood. I know where he does it one time. He built a big old idol and he says, hey, y'all all worship me. Does that sound like a godly man? It doesn't at all. But yet he's got godly people underneath him. He's seen the wisdom and the work ethic they had, and he allowed them to work underneath. Hey, he even ate grass for a season. And after he got three, he said, I believe that's the only God up there. Darius took his place. And this is after the lion's den. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Two more leaders that also appointed Daniel. Two more leaders that didn't serve God, but they understood those that serve that God are blessed. He understood the concept of it. And I think sometimes we need to understand as Christians the concept that we need people that's still going to allow the church a voice, that still will allow those that serve Jesus a place that they can be in authority. Because sometimes we just throw it all to the side because the leader doesn't serve God. See, we need a leader who will give room for the righteous or godly people to lead. One candidate has a track record for doing so, and does not mind hanging out with Christians. Another candidate said, you're not welcome. Now listen to what's being said. Because when one says, I don't mind hanging out with you, that is saying, I'll give you room. When another says, you're not welcome, that says something is going to change. I'm not saying anything I haven't heard or anything that has not been confirmed. I'm saying what has taken place. We need to have a leader that will give room for the righteous or the godly people to lead. One leader, just look at the appointments at the Supreme Court. That actually turned over Roe versus Wade. Next thing I want to look at this morning is we cast our votes for the safety of the children of this country. Come on, let me say it again. We cast our votes for the safety of the children of this country. How many of you know the children represent future generations? Children represent life. You let this church quit having children come to it and watch us die. You let this church quit having young people come to it and watch us die. Children are the future. And how we educate or teach or protect them has a profound effect on our nation. We are to vote. We are to cast our vote to protect the children of this country. Deuteronomy 12 verse 31 says this, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Talking about the people that possessed Canaan land before God brought Israel into it. Jeremiah 32:35 says this, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Both of these verses show that a wicked people and leaders value not the lives of their children. Both passages, I couldn't imagine my dad say, get Billy, he's going to go through the fire. Literally what it means, his life is going to be over. Neither one of these people proved that they did not value the life of those kids that were blessed to be, or they were blessed with. And what they did to them was straight from hell. Let me say it again. What they did to them kids was straight from hell. Not a godly country. Now listen, a nation that does not protect its children is wicked, and the leaders that promote such things are wicked. There's no other way to say it. That is the truth of it. Listen, we may not be making our children pass through the fire, but we are doing things that say we place no value on their lives. In this country. How's that? I'm going to tell you, abortion is murder of children. That's what it is. Can I tell you today that sometimes people will champion the cause using the stories of others that will appeal to our heartstrings in guise of their own agenda. Now listen to the commercials that's been going on. Using stories of others in guise of their own agenda. I challenge you to listen to the voice of the candidates closely when it comes to abortion. Come on, we're not ignorant people, we're not stupid people, and we can read between the lines, because I know y'all can read between the lines sometimes. And we have an education, and we have the Word of God, and we know what the Bible says when it comes to the life of a child, and we know that a life of a child is very sacred in the eyes of God, and we know that abortion is not just doing away with some little matter of something in a woman's womb, but it's actually killing a human being. Listen closely to what the candidates are saying when it comes to such a thing. God has not changed his mind, my friend. If he called it was killing children back of those that possessed Canaan, he still calls it murder today. He does not change. Proposition A is on your ballot, and it's about protecting lives. It's not overextending government power. Did you know there are thousands of dollars that have been poured into our community of Amarillo to go against this very thing? Funded by those that care less about the life of a child. Listen closely to what the candidates are saying when it comes to abortion. How about the whole gender thing is destroying our children's lives? Can I tell you this morning, in God's judgment, born a male, always a male. Born a female, always a female. God's got a log. You know, some people from old would try to find their birth certificate and couldn't figure out where they were born. But I'm going to tell you, in the record of heaven, God knows that Billy Snyder was born a male. And there's no fire that's going to burn up the records. Nothing's going to damage that. I will be judged for what I am born of, or what I'm born to be. And born female or male, God does not change that. God does not let man. You know, this whole gender dysphoria. What is it? Unhappy about the gender God gave them is what's happening today. The dysphoria. According to what I found on the internet, in the United States, the number of children ages 6 to 17 diagnosed with gender dysphoria increased 70% from 2020 to 2021. Amazing. Now we have more that are messed up in their heads. Why? Because of the teaching that is allowed. My friend, a nation that does not protect its children is wicked. And when we confuse them about who they are born to be, whether a male or female, we are messing them up, not only for the day that they'll live on this earth and the small lifespan, but for eternity. It will have an effect upon them. the end of that study, is there 121,882 that's been messed up. Listen, the whole confusing them. Can I just say this morning? Adults are supposed to lead. We are supposed to teach. When a kid's got a weird thinking about something, we're supposed to correct that. We're not supposed to encourage it. We're not supposed to say, hey, let's make some school agenda for this person because their thinking's off a little bit, and let's just cuddle them up, make them feel good. But adults are supposed to correct things. I remember my mom and dad would correct me once or twice when I only needed it. But I'm going to tell you, it's time that adults be adults. Time that grandparents be grandparents. It's time that when we have kids that come home from this wicked school system sometimes, and don't get me wrong, not all of school is that way, but we need to correct the issue. But any government and administration that just keeps promoting that junk is wicked. Wicked stuff. Boys and girls' locker rooms, that's kind of confusing. I'm going to tell you, and also men and women's restrooms. I've done that before accidentally. Didn't read the sign right. Get in there, and I'm thinking, this does not look like what we would have in a men's bathroom. And I'm thinking, I need to get out of here fast. In the society that we have today, how confusing is that for our young people? And how unsafe is that? Drag queen story time, boys playing in girls' sports. You know, if that happened when we was growing up, we had a name for them. Yeah, we just keep quiet. It was embarrassing if you got outran by a girl. Even though we had some in the junior high or elementary, we just didn't want to race because we knew they would beat us. But I'm just saying this just doesn't make sense. Not for as far as the women have went in this country to have the privilege to have their own sports, their own competitions. And if you don't think there's a difference between a male body and a female body, you're wrong. There's some exceptions, but very little. The list of damage we are doing to our kids go on and on in this country. My friend, listen to what's being said. Whose responsibility? It's not those that don't have an understanding. It's not those that don't have an enlightenment. Whose responsibility is to do something about it? Those that have been enlightened by God. Those that have been enlightened by the Word of God. It's our responsibility. It's in our court to do something about it. Don't expect people that don't serve God to do anything. Listen, Matthew 9, verses 13, 15 says this. One day some parents brought some children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. You know what that says? Jesus loves the children. Jesus loves the children. He cares about children. But Jesus says, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. I know that's a whole preaching into that about spiritual babes and growing, but it also represents God's thought about kids. He loves them, created them. He knew them before they were conceived in their mother's womb. And we can go back to John 3:16, though, that none should perish. The responsibility of the church is that no kid should perish, and our nation should do something besides what it's doing. See, we need to bring the children to Christ, not the government. Matthew 18:6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he was drowned in the depths of the sea. You don't think God cares about the kids? He does. You think God's going to bless a nation that are allowing wicked things happen to their children? No. We need to vote. We need to understand. Psalms 127:3 says this, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. from God, children are. I thank God for our state and our governor that get it. Amen? We're blessed to live in Texas, and I don't say that just because I was born here. I like Texas. And we're blessed that our state gets it and understands it. It's no wonder, listen, that they're literally spilling, or those that are against this thing, that it's no wonder that they're literally spending millions to change our state. Come on, there's an agenda out there. If you don't believe it, just stay home and not vote and watch what happens to our state called Texas. Spilling millions of dollars to change races, especially our senator race right now. You know how hard it is to preach a message and not mention. Again, I encourage you, listen to what the candidates are saying. And let their past actions dictate what you believe when it comes to our kids. Listen to what they are saying, but go back and reflect on their past actions of what they are doing politically. Because actions speak much louder than words. I'm going to tell you, the devil has created some very good liars. And they can make it, they can switch a thing around to where they can put the blame on somebody that really had nothing to do with it. Come on. The Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of all those lies. And you know what that says? They can really put it on and you're going, wow. Listen, I'm thinking, wow, I'm kind of confused. And then I remember the actions. I remember what happened when they're in office. I remember the things that have taken place. And then my senses come back to me. Last thing. Vote for the candidate that you would be more willing to pray for and submit to. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, therefore I exhort, first of all, these supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, which is to be said, all women also, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Romans 13, 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing powers or authorities, for there's no authority except from... Where did that go? Wow. I can't find it. Is it on there? Yeah. It exists that are appointed by God. Listen, when these verses were written, the government was different than what we have today in America. And we need to understand that just for, when we think about the government, there were kings, emperors, and dictators, and etc. The people literally did not have a choice in most cases of who was ruling over them. They were born into it, they lived in that kingdom, and it was, thus saith the king, or whoever was in authority. But they were commanded to pray for and submit to those leaders. However, in America, we have the choice to vote and let the majority of the people pick our leaders. Now, reflect back to where I first started. If we have 41 million Christians that do not vote, then we are surrendering our privilege and our right in allowing wickedness to go forward. Because if you say, I'm not going to vote either way, yes, you did. You voted for the other. Because you didn't voice your opinion. Listen, we vote to choose. We vote to choose. This is the whole idea of an election in this country, is to choose. Robin and I went down to the Santa Fe building Saturday before last, and we made a choice. How did I choose? I'm going to tell you, actions speak louder than the words. Actions speak louder than the words. For instance, how many college kids still owe money after Biden said he was going to erase their debt? 4 years to do what was said. And never, he knew when he said it, he couldn't do it. But he needed Tara to vote. He needed all the young people to vote. And the words he said, he knew he could not bring them to pass, nor did he care. All he cared was for the vote. Actions, my friend, speak louder than words. What's being spoken today? What is being said today? Is there a possibility that person means what they're saying? How about border issue? Really, we don't need to have open borders. It's dangerous and it's expensive. Can I tell you one of the most expensive increases in the government spending has been in Medicare and Medicaid and all. You know where that's coming from? That's coming from people coming across the border. Billions of dollars have been spent. What is that? That is the young people's social security that will not be there. Now, we need to understand, and it's not only that, we're not very, very well liked in the world anymore, and when the borders are open, it's dangerous. Now, I didn't even have that in the message. I don't know where that came from. But when we talk about the border issue, who really tried to close it? Who really tried to close the border? Abortion issue. Who has literally been out of shape over the turning over Roe versus Wade? Who's been out of shape over that? Actions speak louder than words. Who truly stands for Israel? You say, why does that matter, Pastor? Because I'm going to tell you, every person that will bless Israel will be blessed, and every person and nation that will curse Israel will be cursed. You can take that to the bank. Global warming isn't getting us in trouble. A lot of times it's our stance on Israel. You go read, there's some books out there that speak of the very fact, every time we go against Israel, something would come bad upon our nation. We got to understand it. Who will be a friend to the church? Who will be a friend to the church? Actions speak louder than words. I'm just telling you how I made my mind up. Who is not paid off by deep pockets with their own agendas? Go study. Some of these presidents go in broke and go out billionaires almost. How does that happen? On the $400,000 salary? I wish I had that, if y'all's interested. But how do you become a millionaire and a billionaire in 4 years or 8 years? Something's wrong, my friend. Something's wrong. Whose economy was stronger and really was for the people? After all, both candidates have had a chance. Amen? This is like not somebody we haven't had a chance to see. And I'm going to tell you, there's many more reasons, but we're getting close to lunch. Here's the deal. The key is, I made my choice. And I made my choice by voting. Listen, regardless of the winner, we are told to pray for and to submit to them. Come on, I can't change what God says. Regardless of the winner, I would much rather pray for someone I voted for. Lord, I knew you had it. Yet I'm told I must pray for the winner either way. Now, to submit does not mean to do unbiblical principles or anything that would go against God's word for my life. There's a boundaries to submitting. I love America and the freedom we have here, and I have found it not hard to submit to. Matter of fact, I got my tax bill in from Potter County. I'm going to pay it. Unless one of y'all want to pay it for me. I got a text this morning while I was teaching class, and I had so much money deducted from my checking account for my car insurance. Why do I have car insurance? Because it's the law. And what I'm saying, it hasn't been that difficult for us to submit. But we could be looking at a time that it will be a little more challenging when it comes to submitting. What am I going to do when they say, y'all can't come together as a church anymore? Is that possible? Yes, it is. With people that don't like the church, I'm going to tell you, the church is in a way of wickedness and wickedness having its way. What are we going to do when it comes to stuff like that? You know what I'm going to do? Hebrews 10 and 25, we're going to gather somewhere. Amen? We may be like China. It may be something that would take place that China, one of the biggest churches in the world, is underground. I'm saying today that, you know, we really don't have that much difficulty. I know taxes, and a bunch of stuff. But it could get to where it's going to be a little more difficult. Why? Because Christians aren't going to get out and vote. Our vote has the possibility of keeping things easier to submit to and easier to pray for those that are in leadership. I hope I'm encouraging you. I know my audience isn't a million of people, but I'm going to preach to who I have. I hope every one of the San Jacinto people that call this place home, which we have a lot more that call us home that aren't here this morning, I hope all of us get out and vote. I've done my responsibility this morning. You know where I stand on abortion. You know where I stand on a lot of these issues. It's not because I've been quiet as a pastor, but it's because I know we need to understand the reason we vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I want to encourage you to vote. If you vote for somebody I didn't vote for, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm still going to love you. Amen? You know what my deal is? You have the right to vote for who you want. And that's it. I'll still love you. Let's just not tell each other. Because my friend today, I see this is very important. And it would amaze you how many pastors will not say a word about this election. And they won't say a word about what's going on in our country. I'm going to tell you, there's another country that went down the drain the very same way because the church kept their mouths shut. And who was suffered the most? The Jewish people did. I want to encourage you. I'm not going to preach this every Sunday, but I'm going to let you know every now and then. A few years back, there was a young man that was shot across the street from the Family Life Center. Long story short, I ended up ministering first aid to him until help arrived. What I did helped a little, yet the EMT in the hospital helped also, and they helped a bunch. I did what I could and also what I had been trained for, being on the fire department, being able to help with a wound that was really bleeding a lot. With everybody's help, the young man made a full recovery, which is a good thing. Listen, some look at voting as if their vote does not matter. You say, it doesn't matter whether I vote or not, but can I tell you, every vote counts except the one not cast. Every vote counts except the one not cast. I think most of you that are here this morning and those watching online would agree with me today that evil is increasing in our nation. And this evil comes from people that are wicked. It has been said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph in this world is that good men do nothing. That's it. Sit back and watch, and that's the world we live in. It always amazes me where someone can be beaten up in someone's video and not helping that person. Hey, I may get slaughtered, but I'm going to jump in. You know, and I've realized now that I'm not as young as I used to be. So I've got to fight fast and quick and have someone sew me up. But I couldn't stand by and watch somebody get hurt. It's just my nature. And I'm going to tell you that for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. I'm going to tell you today, we need to do our part as Christians, and that is to get out and vote. And you may say, well, mine won't matter. Add it all up. You get the whole church out and vote. We're not going to change how they believe, but we can change by voting what we believe. So I encourage you this morning, get out and vote. And I ask you today, are you a good person? If so, go vote and help to do something about the evil in our country.